Celebrities are just like us, except when they fall on hard times, they get a boatload of money for endorsing embarrassingly shitty products. From useless fitness gadgets to psychic phone services to horrible food, the products that they're now shilling makes their fall from grace even more spectacular.
Today, comedian Matt Brown joins us to take a look at the most ridiculous celebrity product endorsements ever. Listen as we take a look at the best and worst celebrity-themed restaurants, why everyone was a spokesperson for Pizza Hut, and how computer-generated graphics forced celebrities to endorse products from beyond the grave.
Plus, women who can't sing, who are famous for singing.
Amanda Lepore gets photoshopped out of Travis Scott's album cover.
And who the hell is Rula Lenska? I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Become a member and support this show at feastoffun.com/plus.
My favorite time of day is night. I love curling up with a rich cup of coffee. You think coffee and sleep don't mix? They do, if it's High Point. It's decaffeinated, and the flavor is marvelous. You see, High Point has a special way of capturing flavor. Deep brewed flavor. It's a coffee lover's dream. Deep brewed High Point. Now, with our richest aroma ever, Lauren Bacall for High Point Coffee, one of the best ads ever, and one of the best celebrity endorsements ever.
Why do you love that ad so much?
I love it because it aligns perfectly with Lauren Bacall, this dynamic stage actress from Hollywood and Broadway, who stayed up till 3 in the morning drinking coffee, but it was decaffeinated because she doesn't do drugs or cocaine or any of that kind of crazy shit.
Boring.
Our guest today is comedian Matt Brown, who is really fascinated with ridiculous celebrity endorsements, product endorsements.
Oh, yes. I just love when anybody uses their platform to hawk shit. I just really, I believe in the vanity of it all and the stupidity of it. It just excites me deeply.
Well, sometimes you got to make a buck to do what
exactly.
You're doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes you have to be Angela Lansbury and do a workout tape at the age of 63 in, like, practically a burka. Because why not?
Or
because
sell t-shirts at your store, feastoffun.com/store.
Exactly.
So we'll hit the bell every time we actually do a product endorsement on the show, and it's meant to be sort of like Pavlov's bell ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in RuPaul's Drag Race, when RuPaul giggles, right? It's this idea like, oh, I'm going to take action. I'm going to buy something. So we're trying to subconsciously train the audience to spend money on our website, feastoffun.com/store.
Can I tell you who has the best bell usage of any podcast in America?
We don't talk about podcasts on the show.
I'm sorry. She's a genius, and we have to credit her.
Sure.
Do you guys know who Judy Gold is?
Yes.
Okay, fabulous. Okay, she is like a New York stand-up comic from like started out in the 90s. She is brilliant and amazing, and she's a 6'3" Jewish lesbian.
She's the one who doesn't want to perform in colleges.
Yes, she
because
has a vice
people
piece
are
recently.
Too nice.
Correct. She is angry. Green wants to tell you to fuck off, and I love it.
Well, then, fine, Judy Gold. Don't perform at Dartmouth. Who cares?
Exactly, because, you know, she works a lot of clubs and theaters across the country. Mm-hmm. But on her podcast, she rings a bell anytime you mention a Jewish person or anything Jewish.
Oh, that's
and
nice.
It just gives me the giggles, because someone will just be telling a story and mention a friend, and she'll just ring a bell and interrupt them, and it's hysterical. Or like, where'd you grow up? And then she'll just ring the bell.
That's so creative.
Mm-hmm.
It's so original. How long has she been doing that for?
Like two years.
Yeah, we've been doing it for 10 years.
It gives me the giggles.
So you wanted to talk about celebrity product endorsements.
Yes.
Not the ones that actually seem to mesh well with the artists. Like Michael Jordan's, I think the most famous one is Michael Jordan and Nike shoes.
Yeah.
But you're more interested in the disasters, the one that in hindsight seemed to tarnish the name of the celebrity.
Oh, right. Definitely. Because I personally think bad taste is just as important as good taste.
Sure.
And like celebrities that are capable of doing amazing work, also seeing them suck shit is just really important.
Yeah.
I just feel like as a sense of like chiaroscuro, just like for that sense of light and dark and balance, it's very important.
Well, you know where all this began? The origins of celebrities and product endorsements and merchandise.
Educate
all
me.
Trace back to Italy and to Castrati.
Oh, yes, yes.
The young singers who had their balls
singer for 7 years.
Taken off.
This is my, like, yeah,
you know,
I can give you
this,
the history,
right?
Lesson. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They were sexually ambiguous. I couldn't get women pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
They sang really, really high.
Yeah.
And they were the first people, I guess, in Western history to have posters made of their looks.
Mm-hmm. They were rock stars.
They were the rock stars of their day.
They were rock stars.
And so these castratis started doing product endorsements, and one very popular product all throughout Europe's modern age is cocaine-laced wine.
It was the Pope, so
and
it
the
was
Pope
fine.
Eventually got into the castrati action.
Yeah.
And it was Leo the 13th who was Vin Mariani was the cocaine laced wine that eventually evolved through prohibition to what we know as Coca-Cola today.
Fabulous. Mm-hmm. And there's still bit traces of a line in that can of Coke if you pretend. I don't know. I think with the castrati, what was most interesting is that that really was like, they were like the first superstars. They were the first rock stars. And I think that started the tradition of, if you want to be an artist, you're going to have to make some big sacrifices, motherfucker.
Well,
sometimes
like
it's your balls. Sometimes it's your social life. Sometimes it's, you know, times of your, it's whatever.
Well, they say
you have to give some up.
Michael Jackson's dad had Michael chemically castrated.
Oh, nonsense.
You don't
absolutely
think?
No, it's actually, it's come out. It's
well, there's been rumors of it. You know,
For one, Joe Jackson was a fucking drag queen. We can already talk about that. With his, like, light auburn drawn-on eyebrows. Mm. He had those drag queen eyebrows that were ridiculous. So I think if anyone was chemically castrated, it could have been Joe after he had the 8th kid.
Matt, you believe that Michael Jackson, a lot of African-Americans believe Michael Jackson was murdered by his doctor. Do you buy into that?
I believe that. I don't really think there's a simple answer, because, like, if you are someone who is prescribing someone propofol to put them to bed every night, you're kind of fucking killing them. But if you're Michael Jackson and you have $1 billion, you're going to find someone to tell you yes. So who is responsible?
Well, you know what Michael Jackson's interest in outrageous medical treatments stem from. He was doing a product endorsement for Pepsi.
And his hair caught on fire.
And most of his skin burned off too. And so he had to go into the hospital, and that's where he became addicted to painkillers and oxygen tanks and all this other stuff.
Do you know what famous celebrity was actually an extra in that Pepsi commercial? Kathy Griffin. Yeah, because she was living in LA and she was an extra at the time.
So she saw him go up in flames?
Well, no, because that's the thing, because there were so many people on that shoot because the commercial was so big. She just remembers a scene, and like people were like, okay, you can just go home now. You're going to get paid, but you just got to go. And no one really knew what happened. And then she went home and saw the news that night, and it's like Michael Jackson caught on fire.
Because like you can see the video of it still, I think it's up on YouTube, right?
So I want to read you guys.
She had a great endorsement, baby.
Pope Leo the 13th endorsement for cocaine laced Mariani wine. In the ad, they used a drawing of him, a painting of his, and it says, His Holiness the Pope writes that he has fully appreciated the benefits effects of this tonic wine, and is forwarded to Mr. Mariani, the man behind the wine, as a token of his gratitude, a gold medal bearing his august effigy.
You know, the Pope can
Pope
like
was
coke
high
too.
On wine and cocaine. Yeah,
okay, everybody. Okay, not everybody. He was sipping on gin and juice like Snoop Dogg. Okay, it's an old school tradition. He knew what he wanted. Okay.
I think that's great that you like something here. Have like my effigy embossed in gold. Just take it.
But it's interesting this idea, because it was almost like an exchange, right? So I'm not sure what the Pope was. I guess he was getting lots of cocaine laced
wine,
free wine. And in exchange, the wine company was using his likeness and got a little gold medal from the Pope.
Which isn't bad of an exchange, well, I think.
You also have to realize, okay, what year is this again in Italy?
I'm looking here.
Like,
the 1800s.
Okay,
yeah.
Exactly. They got attention from the Pope. Grazie al Dio. Like, they are gotta be so happy. Like, that's really all it takes. Like, it is direct recognizione from la Papa. Like, they're happy, okay? They love the Pope.
So, when you think about, like, disastrous celebrity endorsements that sort of, like, tarnish the person, who do you feel like really stands out in pop culture history?
Well, the original thing that made me think of these the celebrity endorsement topic was like all the lines of products that celebrities will try to sell that are just shitty and awful and tragic. And so that started spinning the wheel of, okay, what do people put their name on? That's ridiculous. Sure. And so the most specific thing that happened actually recently, it's tied back to the first celebrity I mentioned, because this was actually the most, because it's a hilarious endorsement. It's just a stupid endorsement. Kathy Griffin lost her Squatty Potty endorsement in the Donald Trump disaster last year. She was the face of Squatty Potty.
She really thought she was the shit.
Yeah, she really did.
And then they said, you're not the shit anymore.
She really did. They took it all away from her. I'm sure they probably went to her house and like all 8 of her bathrooms and just took each Squatty Potty away. I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure. You know, as much as it is like, you know, celebrities are going to, you know, Trump with the stakes, right? Mm-hmm. They're going to tie their names to, or Trump University, to shitty, inferior products that, you know, are sort of, then their name becomes synonymous with crap.
That's what happens when you sell your name. Yeah. Like, Trump's stakes literally lasted 2 fucking months on QVC. Like, that was, like, his fourth, like, suckiest marriage. Like, it just went in and out.
But to me, it's like, what's more endearing or memorable is when a celebrity hits financial hardship. And they're kind of in their backup is against a wall, and so through their management team, they're saying yes to every single endorsement that's sent their way. And so to me, the most famous one was Aretha Franklin for Pizza Hut, who she redid Rescue Me,
yes,
but Deliver Me for Pizza Hut, and it was like promoting Pizza Hut's pizza delivery. And Mikhail Gorbachev, Ringo Starr, all these like celebrities for a period of time were doing pizza. Rush Limbaugh was doing Pizza Hut ads.
I loved the Aretha Franklin Pizza Hut commercial because it was so strange to me to see her like try to sell something, because she has not been in a good mood since 1978. Like, she has just been in a permanent bad mood since she lost her Grammy Award winning streak and just has not gotten over it.
And she was mad about that.
And then
that,
the other thing that, did you know how her Pizza Hut commercial actually came about?
No.
Because you see, what I believe the story was is that because, Miss Aretha likes to eat. If you know anything about her.
I like my Pizza Hut. I like my Domino's. I like delivery pizza. I would endorse it.
What I personally believe is that she was already singing outside of a closed Pizza Hut. Come on, baby, and rescue me. Like, she was just already needed it. And then they just got the idea to record it. Because she just wanted some fucking pizza. And her father's a preacher. And she knows her voice can make things happen. So I think that's what happened. I'm not sure. That's just what I believe.
Well, Aretha is known for, because I believe she lives in Detroit, or she travels between Detroit and New York.
She lives on that bus.
And so she's got a bus, right?
Because she doesn't like to fly.
She goes between like New York and Detroit. She always stops at the same restaurant. I think it's an Olive Garden or something like that, somewhere in Pennsylvania. Like, she's always there.
Well, okay, what I love about old divas is that they don't like nice food. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. Like, if you see them at like these amazing restaurants, they're drinking. Like, Liza Minnelli loves Olive Garden. Liza Minnelli fucks with Olive Garden. Really? And her dad's like Italian. And she just, she got the breadsticks. Liza Minnelli loves Olive Garden.
I love the breadsticks. They're unlimited. I can eat until I explode.
Oh, honey. She, you gotta get the air in there, you know?
Oh.
She's like always almost coming. Oh, huh. Like, she's just always almost there.
Well, celebrities always, you know, lend their names to restaurants. Most famously, Lady Gaga supported her parents' restaurant.
Oh, yeah, she has one in New York. Well, her parents do.
And it's not a bad restaurant. You know, Mark Wahlberg has Wahlburgers. This is a real thing. And they're coming to Chicago.
Wait, okay.
What, before, really?
Yeah, it's a vegan burger and hamburger franchise that also sells, like, you know, Impossible Burgers and Thanksgiving Turkey
Wait,
Burgers.
So Wahlberg, so Mark Wahlberg's restaurant's all fucking vegan?
No, they said some. They specialize in having a lot of vegan choices.
Okay, because customers. Like, he's way too built to, like, not eat meat. Yeah. Like, I don't believe that. And most importantly, I'm not going to a restaurant unless his ass is on the menu. Second, because, like, Marky Mark has just been, like, since the 90s. Like, that's just the man.
Well, Danny Trejo, you know, from Machete, from Breaking Bad, he has his Trejo's Tacos.
Okay.
In L.A., and actually a lot of people say it's very good.
Like, this well, how could you not do tacos well in L.A., you know?
Yeah, and what does L.A. need if not another taco truck?
But the most delicious celebrity-themed restaurant is Kenny Rogers Roasters, which is no longer in business, but was a subject of a Seinfeld episode where everybody... And my mother and I, actually, we were on a road trip from Austin to Miami, and we stopped and ate it, and it was one of the most delicious rotisserie chickens ever.
Wow, you really love rotisserie chickens.
And I'm going to tell you, Kenny Rogers Roasters was legendary in its day.
Did they play The Gambler, like, while you were eating?
That country music inside it. But it was a very clean, upscale, healthy fast food sort of, you know, it was kind of a low end, a Sizzler.
Were there pictures of him on the walls?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get a free eye lift with your purchase?
Okay. They went a little too far with that.
That's why they're out of business now, because they were all getting matching Kenny eye lifts, so that way he wouldn't feel so alone in the world. That's why.
But Hulk Hogan kind of destroys his downfall.
His image keeps going.
This sounds ridiculous, and I didn't even realize that Pasta Mania was a real franchise that he started, and literally served, like, Chef Boyardee quality pasta to people.
I am just, that name is so stupid. I'm hurt by it. WrestleMania, like, can you develop your own franchise?
And it's kind of grotesque, right? So the ads for Pasta Mania was Hulk Hogan ripping his shirt off with a giant unwieldy plate of spaghetti, and he's slurping it up with the sauce all over his face.
And then the sex tape comes out, right?
Yeah.
What I really think they should have done is just had Hulk Hogan open up a can of Chef Boyardee, shake it out into a bowl, and then just serve it to someone and walk away. I think that would have been a much better commercial. Just stick a spoon in it and run.
Do you remember, I don't know if you're old enough to remember these, in the 90s, there were infomercials.
Just like to remind everyone, I'm 20, young and beautiful. Thank you.
Yes. In the 90s, there were infomercials for Psychic Friends Network, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dionne Warwick was the queen of those.
Oh, yes. Cousin of Whitney Houston. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Miss Warwick.
Well, and Miss Cleo, too.
And Miss Cleo. But the one that a lot of people don't remember was Vicki Lawrence of the Carol Burnett Show, Mama's Family, for a short, hot minute. She was facing hard times because it was after both of those shows had ended their run, and I guess she was she turned to be a celebrity spokesperson for Walter Mercado, the Liberace of Puerto Rico.
Oh, yes.
Attempting to speak broken English to sell his psychic phone network to American audiences. Vicki Lawrence.
Voy a llorarte por el teléfono. I don't know what the fuck he's doing. He has that narcissistic personality disorder, Trump hair.
Walter Mercado, yes.
Yes, Walter Mercado already has the exact Trump hair, or like the Dr. Ruth perm. He like goes in between the two, because sometimes there's a part and sometimes he does like the whole swipe thing. Like,
do you think
Trump
at this point in time it's a wig, or do you think it's real hair?
I feel like
it's a little bit of both.
I want it to be a wig so that way I can imagine he has cornrows underneath it. That's the only reason I want a wig. That's the reveal that I need. That's what I want.
My father was a big fan of Walter Mercado.
Okay, like, did your father have a gambling problem in any other financial discussions?
No, he got into theosophic philosophy.
Okay.
Which is the idea that all religions are interconnected.
Yeah.
And we're worshiping one idea. It's kind of like the Hero of Thousand Faces, Joseph Campbell.
Okay.
You know, the same idea. And so, you know, it's just, you know, a man struggling with a post-divorce to make sense of the world around him, right? And Walter Mercado, you know, he has been this, like, relentless entertainment force in Puerto Rico for my entire life,
mm-hmm.
as a gender nonconforming person, right? And most recently, he became the spokesperson for Doritos.
Oh, yes.
For American audiences. And people were like, who the fuck is this weird, freaky, alien space baby eating Doritos in outer space?
Okay, so is Walter Mercado actually like a LGBTQIA person?
He's not openly, like Liberace is not openly gay, but of course, he hangs around lots of LGBT people, goes to LGBT events.
What was his quote about, like, he gets off by bubble baths?
I am not a sexual being. I'm not gay. I'm not straight. I'm not anything. He said, I am enlightened. I am at love with the universe. For me, a gentle bath full of bubbles or a kiss from a kitty cat are enough to send me into orgasm. He said that in People in Español.
I think that's also, he's one of those guys that you hook up with and you suck their nipples and they start crying.
Does that happen?
No. I just think that's a little too sensitive, baby. Just a little too, let's calm down.
You're getting me excited. What can Brown do for you, baby?
Howard Brown can get you prep. I can't do shit. This is a self-serving gas station.
Where the bathrooms are clean?
You get what you get.
Only for customers.
Exactly. Because if you can do it for money, why would you do it for free? There's no reason.
You remember Mary J. Blige for Burger King's fried chicken wraps?
I love that commercial.
Crispy chicken, fried lettuce, three cheeses wrapped up in a flour tortilla.
Okay.
Crispy chicken. That was actually one of her songs. That was rewritten just like Aretha Franklin's. Mm-hmm. Like it was one of her big songs from her latest album. And she had no idea that they were going to turn it into this like campy ad, right?
My thing is when she goes in and she's like, I had no idea there was going to be this outrage. When you do the seventh take of crispy chicken, you're black and you know it. Shut the fuck up. You knew. Stop playing stupid.
You just see those dollar signs.
Like I can't. I fucking can't.
I think it was delicious. I actually had one of those and I think they were delicious. I am a big fan of...
It's fried chicken. How could you not like it?
Boneless fried chicken in a tortilla with lettuce and ranch dressing. Mm-hmm. It's fucking delicious. Stop hating yourself. Each of them
comes with a blonde wig and a part in the middle. So, like, it's all about the packaging.
Mary begged for forgiveness several months after the controversy. She wrote, I want to apologize to everyone that was offended or thought I would do something so disrespectful to our culture. I would never do anything like that purposefully. I thought I was doing something right. So please forgive me.
Can we talk about that Eddie Murphy leather bodysuit she was wearing in the commercial? Like, what in the fuck? And I don't know. She confuses me. She confuses me daily.
How so?
I prefer to listen to her and not look at her. Because she just, like, sometimes she looks so amazing. And then other times it's like, why does your wig look like it was, like, do it at home, L'Oreal Platinum Blonde, and then your green contacts are looking a little shifty, sister. Like, I don't know. Sometimes it's just, I don't know. The drag is cracked every now and then. What is
going on with African-American female pop stars? Natalie Cole, Mary J. Blige, mm-hmm. Whitney Houston had severe depression and drug issues.
That's
complicated. It's really complicated.
Because, I mean, Whitney had, like, the whole sexuality level to it.
But it wasn't, the documentary reveals it wasn't the sex. Do you know that her alleged lover, Robin Crawford, she was with her through most of her life.
Yeah, Robin was with her for 15 years.
Yeah, so this idea that Whitney Houston didn't have the love and affection of Robin Crawford is bullshit.
She had the love and affection of Robin Crawford, but she had to deal with her family saying every day, this bitch is the devil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she had to deal with Robin and her husband fighting every fucking time they're in the same
room. And they were high as kites on cocaine all the time.
Exactly.
So what's going to happen? What outcome do you think is going to happen from all of this?
Because Whitney will sing at you when she's mad. Did you ever see Bing Bobby Brown? I'm not doing this with him today. She don't care. She never did.
That was a really sweet series. I mean, it was humorous.
And it ruined her career. Ruined her image and her reputation. But, I have to go by that.
Why do you think that Whitney Houston thought that was a good idea?
Because she loved that man. Because she
Bobby Brown wanted to do it.
Bobby Brown wanted to do it. And she loved her husband. And she was willing to denigrate herself to build him up because his ego was so sensitive. Mm-hmm. Who else is going to get their last Grammy and then point out their husband as the king of R&B and he hasn't made a record in 8 years? So, like, come on.
Mark,
she was just so obsessed.
What advice do you have for people who are married to somebody with an insatiably large ego and can't get any advice? How do you manage that?
It's hard. Yeah.
Where would you direct
them? You just have
them?
To make your own space and kind of like do your own thing.
But what the hell does that mean? That is not
cheat.
An advice.
That's what it means. You know? Cheat. Virulently. Stick your dick everywhere. Your fuck space. The crack in the sidewalk. Do it tonight.
You gotta carve out your own little niche is what you have to
you
do.
Too.
You have to find
do
your own voice.
Thing.
Do your
now,
own
I
projects.
Never watched the reality TV show, but is it true that she actually had Bobby fish a piece of poop out of her butt? Did that really happen?
There was a moment where she was pointing at her stomach and saying, look at this bloat, I'm about to take a real one, which I think is a real beautiful moment.
But didn't she say she couldn't get something out, so he had to go in there and like put his finger up his butt and pull out a piece of poop?
I don't remember that moment.
Okay,
but
that's the only thing I remember from
as
that
gay
series,
men, I, yeah. we, I don't think we're allowed to be grossed out by that. We all know what our sex lives
but
are.
But putting it on television is another thing.
Sister.
You know, Whitney Houston was a... I guess a big product endorsement that she did in her early in her career was Just Say No. She was part of the Just Say No campaign, and so was Pee Wee Herman. Mm-hmm. If you go on YouTube, you can watch Pee Wee's "Kids Don't Do Crack. Crack is not cool."
Oh yeah,
crack will do this to your brain.
It's ridiculous. And so
crack is whack. That we associate with Whitney Houston. That was one of the slogans from the campaign that she was on.
Exactly. That's why she knew it. She remembered the copy because she's a good professional.
Show me the receipts.
Exactly. Which, by the way, what drug dealer in America has receipts? Okay, I've been buying weed for a very long time, and I have in large quantities, and I have never, ever, ever gotten a receipt from any man.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you know, with digital currency, like, you can't buy drugs with PayPal or, you know, Apple Pay or anything like that.
I think you can now. I think that there's apps out there and stuff that you can in certain areas.
Well, that's cryptocurrency.
Like, yeah. But I think, like, in California and places where it's legal, you can order drugs through an app.
But see, a lot of people mistakenly think they're using Bitcoin, they can buy drugs, and the police are catching people because the Bitcoin accounts, like Coinbase and all that stuff, is traceable back to your own bank account.
And I've also seen people getting busted for trying to buy drugs and, like, doing it on Venmo and just, like, putting something else in the caption. And it's like, well, if you're regularly getting, like, sending this person $300 in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I wonder if, like, the police think that, like, for the crew for Cookie with Drag, because we pay them through Venmo.
Yeah.
If they think, like, we're running a drug ring, because our, like, trick bill is, like, six times the rest of our neighbors, and once every so often, we spend all this money on individuals.
They might think you're a pimp, but then again, so is Ed McMahon.
Oh, my God.
So, like,
Ed
I really
McMahon,
feel
speak
like...
about being broke and the last days of your life. So Ed McMahon, the co-host to the Mark Felian to Johnny Carson, right?
He was the co-host, the chair, the man.
So for years he was publisher's sweepstakes spokesperson.
Yeah, he would go around and give other people money, and I guess they don't pay you to do that. I guess it was a volunteer position, and he was hoping he'd get residuals because homeboy was broke.
And poor Ed McMahon, I guess he had a good sense of humor. He was kind of like Casey Kasem and these other sort of celebrities that were being exploited by their families and being, you know, looted for their own money. And the end of the years, they were sort of like kept hostage in their home. And I mean, he had a very
held hostage.
Yeah,
by
he
his
was
family?
Like exploited by his family in this last few years of his life.
Same thing with Zsa Zsa.
Allegedly, right?
It's all allegedly, but you know, the family was really fighting over their estate and what little money they had left. And so Ed McMahon, to make ends meet, he turned to Cash for Gold. FreeCreditReport.com. He released a rap song of him rapping.
Well, okay, I really feel like
dressed up as a pimp. It's really offensive.
To me, I don't know. To me, I feel like that's a logical career progression. Because, like, if you really think about it, why else would Johnny Carson have him at his right hand for 32 years if he wasn't a real G? Why? Like, there's no other reason. Like, and Ed McMahon was always, like, a fucking pimp and had hoes. Ed McMahon always had hoes because he had, like, a kid when he was, like, 63 and, like, married some 28-year-old girl in, like, the 80s. Like, he always had flowers. fly honeys around. I am sure of it. And
it's interesting, like, the Tonight Show sort of grew out of the, you know, Jack Parr's Tonight Show, but it was also very tied to the Rat Pack's Las Vegas acts. And a lot of these people were regular guests on Johnny Carson's, and they were smoking and drinking and just high as kites on that show. And
well, do you, you remember, like, in the 80s even, Sandra Bernhard going on David Letterman? If you tell me she wasn't on coke, you tell me they both were not,
you know,
on coke.
Grace Jones was literally admitting on David Letterman that she was on coke. And I remember in high school we were like, did you see Grace Jones on David Letterman? She was high as a kite.
Oh yes. And you could just say, did you see Grace Jones, and I could just stop there, because look at that woman. Just look at her.
Look
she's
at her.
Stunning.
And she's still stunning all these years later.
Nothing's changed. Mm. Nothing's changed. And also, I love singers who don't sing. That's like my favorite thing.
That's what my mother complains about Grace Jones.
Because she really doesn't sing. She really doesn't, but she's an amazing singer.
I took this road trip with my mom, and she's like, you can play the music you want to, and I put Grace Jones and Nancy Sinatra. And she's like, do any of these women sing? They're all just talking.
You've
been messing when you should have. And messing, you know.
Another one who is a famous, legendary, rich singer who never sang, Paula Abdul, has as many number one songs as Diana Ross and cannot sing.
Oh my
never
God.
Did.
Whitney
never
just
did.
Reads Paula in the Whitney documentary. You're
she's singing off key on the record. It's
like,
ridiculous.
Oh my God. You're like, she really went for it.
Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer star and every gay man's wet dream.
Wait, is he the one that's always picking his shorts out of his ass?
Yes.
I like him.
He's gorgeous. So in Japan,
I'd like to shake his hand.
You know, a lot of celebrities like Woody Allen and, you know, all these people go to Japan and they do really ridiculous ads. But one ad that Cristiano Ronaldo did was a thing called Facial Fitness Pal, which is the shake weight equivalent of a blowjob.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this boomerang type object that you stick in your mouth and you just move your head like you're giving blowjob to this thing.
So little Spanish boys have very hard dicks to that ad. That's what you're telling me. Okay.
And it's outrageous because they show everybody else using it, and Cristiano Ronaldo, they show him right after he's used it. Like, they don't actually show him going down on the thing.
You can just see the regret in his eyes, and that's what they're selling.
And he's like, how much money did I get paid for this?
Hey, he built that solid gold statue in his hometown.
Mm.
Portugal, right? Is that
he still swallowed. And I'm proud of him.
Mark, you're a big fan of Rula Lenska, star of the campy film Queen Kong.
Well, the thing with Rula Lenska is she was famous for a TV commercial in the 70s about Alberto VO5 hairspray. And so she had this magnificent hair, but nobody knew who the fuck she was. So for like a decade, people would always be like, who the fuck is
Rula Lenska?
And they would always make jokes about her, like stand-up comedians, or if you're watching something like Match Game or any like Hollywood Squares, she was often the butt of jokes because nobody knew who the hell she was. But she acted as though she was like a big star.
Well, don't you miss back in the days when you actually didn't know who the fuck models were?
Mm-hmm.
Like, who? No one knew anything about Verushka. Anything.
I still don't know who that is.
But then
she's blonde.
But
that's
then the
it.
Supermodels became a thing.
Yeah, in, you know, late 80s, early 90s.
Thanks
and
to then, RuPaul.
Yeah, and then we have
that supermodel, the song, that's why we all go, supermodels.
And then we have the background on my thing, phone, Naomi Campbell, okay? Mm-hmm. We make sacrifices for Naomi.
A lot of people don't realize that supermodel, RuPaul supermodel was actually kind of a Weird Al Yankovic take. A song tribute to Madonna's Vogue.
Yeah.
And so Dietrich and DiMaggio, Marlon Brando, Jimmy Dean on the cover of a magazine, RuPaul's rap where he's like, know me, she is fierce.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's directly and filmed and made to look like Madonna's Vogue video.
Well, okay. Gay men are the culture creators. That's always been what it is.
Is it culture creating when we're copying somebody else's?
Well, because the whole, I think the whole,
who's copying a gay man?
The whole culture, I think, is it is sort of recycling because it is, you know, very reference based. But
it's not appropriation. It's called recycling.
I think because we turn it around, we play with shit, and then people start saying our words and doing it our way. So, I mean, what do you call that? What do you call that?
Well, it's interesting that Madonna would get mad at Lady Gaga for releasing Born This Way, because so many of Madonna's songs were, you know, derivative, as she would say.
As someone else who has $250 million and doesn't sing, I just live in a confusion.
Is it more important to learn how to dance than it is to sing?
You could ask Tina Turner, because she likes it nice and easy and hard and rough. I don't know. It depends on the kind of performance style you can do. You know, it's different for everybody. I can't fucking dance. I am Southern Baptist. You will never see me dance.
Do you know Ronnie Coleman? Dance.
What? No. The black did not go there. It did not go there. When other places, not there.
Let me just point out one more thing about Rula Lenska before.
Before
we move on. Mm-hmm. She was in a terrible movie called Queen Kong.
Yes, which I loved the clip.
And it's hysterical. And there's one point in the thing she's decided she's going to capture Queen Kong and take her back to London. And she says, in London, most of the guys are queens anyway. So, like, she'll have a good time.
I've never been. Is she wrong?
No, there's lots of queens. You know, London is a very international cosmopolitan city.
Fabulous.
So all the gays throughout Europe, a lot of them move there.
Okay, fabulous. Yes. What I loved about that point from Queen Kong is that I think that was where Teresa Giudice originally learned to flip a picnic table. I think that was her inspiration, and that's what she sees in a mirror when she wakes up every morning, I think. I believe.
Ronnie Coleman, a lot of bodybuilders, with the exception of Arnold Schwarzenegger, they start their careers as athletes and either wind up as porn stars or they just retire and find other careers elsewhere.
Can you imagine how sad it would be to be like a high school quarterback and like you play D1 football in high school and then like you're 27 and you're sitting on an eggplant in front of a webcam? Like, can you just imagine the sadness of it all?
I don't know. Everybody needs to have sex and might as well get paid for it, right?
I mean, yeah, but like, you know, you thought you were going to make your parents proud and be on TV and like you're in front of a camera. But like,
well, so someone like Stu from Sean Cody, Jake Burton, he started his career as a porn star and then got into legitimate competing as a bodybuilder.
But he was obviously working out before he did the porn.
Okay.
Yeah. But what one person that to me stands far apart in all of this is Ronnie Coleman. He was a Mr. Olympia. It was the highest award you can get as a bodybuilder. At the height of his career, he was seen as the epitome of muscle building on planet Earth, right? And since then, he's, you know, not obviously not his former glory, but he does these really ridiculous ads, really poorly made on YouTube and Instagram, for his belly shrink toning cream.
I love watching him rub the lotion on the skin before it gets the hose again. It's a beautiful moment. He's feeling his fantasy, and he has to have a white blonde lady smiling next to him for security.
That's his wife.
Sure. I think it's his emotional support white woman.
Are you familiar with Ronnie Coleman's catchphrases? Because he would not in the least all these crazy weights, you know, just stuff that would make you sick just looking at it. And he would be like, "Ain't nothing but a peanut. Yeah, buddy. Lightweight baby." And now he's like rubbing it on his belly. He's like, "Yeah, buddy. Lightweight baby. Ain't nothing but a peanut."
He's tired. it comes with a price.
For the record, the belly shrinking cream does not work.
Have you tried it?
I have, actually. Yeah.
Okay, so you know. I was going to say, because
he's looking at my gut.
Uh-huh.
No. God damn you, Matt Brown. You're going to get your metabolism will slow one day, too.
I already did the fat thing. I did that birth through 15. I'm a young, beautiful supermodel now, and nothing will change
it. Not for long.
Oh, sure. Me and the dent in my forehead are fine.
The time, father time and mother nature catches up with everyone.
Well, you know, the rule is white stays right, black don't crack, but mix needs fixed. I'm going to hit a wall at like 30 and just look like I should belong on the carpet. It's going to be bad.
People of multiple heritages are the most beautiful people in the world. Lisa Bonet's gorgeous.
Now?
Still gorgeous.
Okay. I see dried apricot. Look at Halle Berry. I see dried fruit.
Some of the most beautiful women in the world.
Whitney from... Whitney Houston,
she's dead.
Not Whitney Houston. Whitney from A Different World.
Yeah, Jasmine Guy.
Jasmine Guy, she's looking a little...
She was old back then, though. She's like grandma now.
She was like 28 years old, 30 playing college.
Because they were like trying to play off her veiny hands and her smoker voice like she was just skinny. Like, you know, Miley Cyrus had that voice at 17. They're just like, I'm an actor. Like, they just play it off.
The last time I saw her was on The Vampire Diaries, maybe like 7 or 8 years ago, and I just couldn't believe how old she got.
Yeah, and she was playing like Aretha Franklin's great-grandmother, and it was really sad. It was really sad.
I think she was a grandma. She was a grandma witch.
And she's probably 43. Like, she's probably maybe 50 years old at the max.
You think?
Like, she can't be... She cannot be... I don't think she's over 50. I really don't
think... I'm going to Google it right now.
But, like, I don't know. A lot of... And especially, I don't know. I just see it don't always turn out that well. Like, you ever see just, like, an old...
She was born 62.
Okay, she's born 62. It should make her 55.
Yeah.
So, or 56, depending on her birthday. Mm-hmm. But old light-skinned men look like old cats. If you really know, it's like an old, tired, tabby cat. Like, your color fades and you're just gray and just everything's faded and over. It's not good.
There's a reason why most of the porn stars of the world are from Brazil is because their mixed heritage is you're sort of like you're like the Shoney's buffet of beauty.
I don't know if that's a correct fact that most porn stars are from Brazil.
It should. Dominic Santos is all I have to say about that.
God damn it, it should be.
All I have to say about that.
But Brazilians are known for nice butts and big dicks, so.
Which is really all that matters in America. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, like, we already voted a reality TV star to be president, so I think the next one's just me, whoever has the biggest dick in the room. Like, I really think that's just the strategy.
I'm guessing Trump does not have a big dick, though.
I am guessing that...
Correct.
If he has a big dick, it's because it's filled with filler.
Oh, he's definitely one of those guys that has stuff injected into it and shit so it can be fatter. Because if that's what he does to hairline, imagine what he does to shit that only he can see. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got to be scary. And you know he's got to have, like, varicose veins on, like, his gut. Like, he's just sick. Whoa. Like, he's disgusting. He is a disgusting creature.
Every pot has a lid, but that one is, I'm afraid, got lost.
No, no. Melanie is so happy to be fucking a sax bag instead of him. Oh, she's so happy.
So, one of the most unfortunate celebrity endorsements is when the celebrity dies,
which is always fun.
And the family feels like, hey, you know, it's time for some more money. Mm-hmm. Fred Astaire didn't get his the Dirt Devil, the vacuum cleaner people. They did an ad for a Super Bowl back in 1999.
Okay,
right.
And Fred was no longer a dancing fool by 99.
He was long 6 feet in the ground, yeah. And so was Ginger Rogers. And so they took footage of Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers dancing, mm-hmm. and they CGI'd or they photoshopped out Ginger Rogers and put in a vacuum cleaner. And it was so outrageous they actually passed a law to prevent dead celebrities' images to be used only if the proper permission was given by family.
I think that's hilarious, though, that you just, like, completely take out a woman and then just, like, replace her with, like...
A vacuum cleaner.
Clean the house, bitch. That's what I heard.
I think there are days when Mark would like to Photoshop me out and put a vacuum cleaner in my place.
Hey, at least, something sucks.
Exactly. yeah. You're lazy in bed, just, like, reading a book, just, like, reading a map over his head, just, like, anything else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Audrey Hepburn, she did a chocolate commercial for Mars's Galaxy. Chocolate.
Was that before or after?
After her death.
Okay.
As a robot. And Bruce Lee, CGI Bruce Lee, did an ad for Johnny Rocker Red Label. The only problem is that he spoke Mandarin Chinese in the ad. In real life, he never did.
Like, the racism of it all.
They're like, he's Chinese, what does it matter?
Literally, being Asian American in Hollywood is awful. Like, they get treated so poorly. Like, they'll sub you with, like, any sideways language. There have literally been, like, 3 Asian family sitcoms ever. Ever. All American Girl, Dr. Ken, Fresh Off the Boat. Ever.
I don't hold much credit. Like, you know, considering, like, one of the most popular sitcoms in the past 20 years is 2 and a Half Men. Mm-hmm. I don't really think of sitcoms as something that needs representation. It's just something that needs to be forgotten.
I definitely think TV is changing and changing. I'm just saying in terms of, like, how we've been, I think, making culture over the past 40 years here. Mm. I don't know.
Well, we just interviewed Guy Branum in his book, My Life as a Goddess.
I'm so mad he took that title from me. That was so going to be the comedy album.
You can use it, too.
I was hoping it was his coming out as trans, but he's not. It's more Grecian. Yeah, it's more Grecian.
Because wouldn't we love him in a wig? Wouldn't we just?
I asked him, I'm like, you didn't want to wear a wig for the photo? He's just like, no.
He doesn't want to cross that
but
bridge.
But he says that, like, you know, Americans, that's how all our values that we've ever learned in the past 40 or 50 years is from sitcoms, from American sitcoms.
Yes.
Because we we learn what's right and what's wrong.
It's about the quip, and then you exit the room.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're a bitch.
Exactly.
And then, you know.
Exactly. Your mom's leaves. A hoe, and then you're just out. It's like Vine. It's fabulous. But, I mean, really, a lot of people get raised by TV, you know, in, like, the 80s and 90s and the 2000s. Back
in the
50s. Yeah. Back 60s. When people used to watch TV in real time, which doesn't happen anymore.
Mm-hmm. What TV shows raised you?
Roseanne, actually.
I'm sorry.
I'm not.
Roseanne was a great show.
Roseanne was a great sitcom. I never watched the reboot.
Not the reboot.
No, yeah. And I, like, obviously think she's, like,
It's heartbreaking, right? To see her, somebody you admired, who was such a rebel.
Yeah.
To sort of become this,
I do not stand by the tweet.
Regressive person.
I do not stand by the tweet, but I will say, she really was, I think, one of the best American stand-up comedians from, like, 84 to 94. Like, back when she was, like, really out there working. Mm-hmm. She was she's amazing on a stage.
When she hit the scene, when she first hit the scene, people were just like, wow. They're like, here's somebody that's just, like, you know, an American mom. Mom, in many ways, just coming out here and telling, like, these really fantastic hysterical jokes. And
she's a Jewish mother just showing you the world what it's like to be poor.
The domestic goddess.
And what she's really the definition of overnight success. She is really one of those people because, like, after she moved to LA, like, she literally had, like, the Tonight Show and, like, a meeting for her sitcom and an arena tour, like, booked in a week.
Well, that's like, how they do it. But you also have to remember that she put in the time. I remember, like, reading part of her memoir talking about how, you know, she used to turn tricks outside of the bar. She would do comedy things. And one of her jokes was, it's just like, she, you know, the thing about, like, when you work as a sex worker, it's like, you know, when you give somebody a blowjob, like, it's over when it's over, but like, if you have to eat their ass, it's just like, how do you know when it's finished? You know, when you're like, I put my time in, we're done.
Well, the worst thing is, like, someone who wants to eat your ass and then want to make out with you, and I'm like,
it happens all the time.
See, really? My own shit,
you won't do
like
that.
He's a terrible leg. My husband's a terrible leg.
Oh my god, if you kiss me after I eat your ass, I'm not fucking you twice. Oh my god, you're weak.
So don't sleep with my husband.
Wait, so you gotta stick your finger in your ass and stick it in your mouth?
It's not the same thing.
Fucking, it's nasty.
Okay? That's how that goes. Okay? Okay? Like, it is what it is. Sex ain't clean.
It's gonna be raunchy. It's dirty.
That's the whole point.
Why is your ass so dirty you wouldn't want to be kissed?
Exactly. What's wrong with you?
I don't want to know what my butthole tastes like.
If you're clean, it just tastes like skin like everything else.
Audience, save me. They're all trying to force me to...
Save me the experience.
Taste my own ass.
And he will kiss somebody after they've eaten his ass.
Okay, see... God bless it. God bless it.
Got to try a little tenderness. But he will. I'm a lady.
You're Dame. Dame Edna. Mm.
What can we learn from sort of this ridiculous analysis of celebrity endorsements? Well, so there's so much more out there, but, you know, to me, these, like, it's very endearing seeing these celebrities hit hard times and turn to ridiculous products. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think you cross a line when you start becoming a shyster and lending your name to businesses like check cashing places or psychic friends networks that prey on people who are at their worst.
Because as an actor, for people that are actors, it hits you in two ways, like from an actual, like if you think about it from a business perspective. One, if you make yourself a personality on your own, you make yourself very hard to fit into other roles. And then also, if you're going to be in a dramatic context and then someone in the theater's like, hey, that's the dude from the 877 Cash Now commercial. That's not going to work in a Scorsese film. Like, that's not even the thought that they want crossing anyone's head. So, like, it's quick money, but it's not long-term money.
Well, Chris Pratt has no problems, you know, lending his name for a light beer ad right now.
Oh, I would sell a dildo in Italy tomorrow. I don't care. Like, I'd sell
anything, practically.
Oh, sure. If it's not going to give me, like, dank cancer or whatever, we're fine.
But I think that all of us here would, you know, not lend our names to, like, predatory lending places or psychics or...
If you're dumb with money, you are going to do something stupid with or without me.
So you really would endorse a check cashing place?
No, because, like, who wants a comedian to do that? Who wants a comedian?
These people are monsters, and they're out to get you.
I would sing the song behind it. I would like do I would do the backup music for
get you have your no check. Morals.
Like you're, I would
you're
do that.
Or you're admitting you're a whore.
I'm not a whore. I'm consistent.
We're all whores, darling.
That's my values.
We cash the checks. We take the tips. We show them what they want.
Exactly. It's like in Pink Flamingos. What are my values? Eat shit. Commit crime. Kill everyone now. Filth are my politics. Filth is my life. That's what it is.
What is your take on looking at all these celebrity endorsements?
I think it really shows you from like what I see as someone who is like a really, really, really low level live performer who just does it because I like it. It really shows you what if you get yourself into a certain lifestyle that people are really just in it for money at a certain point. Because if you're doing shit like that, like if you are doing entertainment gigs that you hate, like if you're going to go be miserable, you should have just been an accountant. Mm. If you're going to go be miserable, you should have been a computer programmer.
Get into this kind of things because you like it. Because like you're young. You just turned 20.
Yeah.
Happy belated birthday, by the way.
In January.
Oh, okay. Foster told me you were 19.
He likes to pretend that I'm 12 and make me lick a lollipop. That's very upsetting.
Not a lollipop.
I was in overalls last time. It was quite upsetting.
The thing is, like, you know, you get involved in these kinds of things, but then you get your manager, then you have your lawyer, and then you have your housekeeper, and then you have all these other people, and it's just like, at some point in time, it's just not you. You're just supporting all these people.
And suddenly it takes...
These people all have to get paid.
And suddenly it takes, like, $800,000 a year just to keep everyone who keeps you together employed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the moral of the story is be miserable.
Be lean and mean.
Yeah, but keep it a one-man show.
It is interesting to see all these, like, celebrities turning to, like, podcasting and video blogs and social media as a way to sort of maintain their public presence.
Yeah, it's a culture response now because we have so many different like ways to connect. People do want to know about like who you are as a human being. That's why I think storytelling comedy is, I think, becoming so much more popular now, because if you are a comedian, they already want to see your Twitter and know what you're eating and know what you're thinking and know what your opinion is on new stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, they're already looking to you just, like, as a public person, as a personality, to, like, give them a variety of things. So why wouldn't you be showing them if they need to know what you're going to be eating and where you're traveling on vacation and where you're going to be performing? Why wouldn't they want to know what your favorite eye makeup remover is, too?
But all those, like, you know, storytelling podcasts, you know, like The Moth, you know they're not... fact checking any of those stories, and half of them were like complete lies.
I believe in lying to people. Yeah. Firmly believe in lying to the public. Truth is a social construct, like hope and equality. It's made up. Doesn't matter.
You're like, wow, this guy did all these amazing things, you know, and you're like,
sure.
It's like, did you fact check that, or that person just showed up to a, you know, open mic and started spewing?
Yeah, it's just like, I'm gonna, okay, you don't even have a picture of that kid that you need $80 for that bus ticket on this blue line, sir. Like, you know, it's just like, what snake oil are you telling me? What story are you pulling out of your ass? Like, are you sure? Are you sure?
I have a good story for you.
Educate me.
You're familiar with the rapper Travis Scott?
Oh, yes. Because I don't even understand how that Jenner girl could have a baby with him. I do not know how you fuck that man without a gas mask and a condom. He is so ugly. But anyway.
Are they still together?
Yes. And they just had a picture. Mm-hmm. And he was seated like a king. Mm-hmm. And then she was like crawling up him with her big stupid five asses behind her out. Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous.
So he just shared the image for his album that's coming out soon called Astro World.
Is it ass with two S's?
It's not. It's just Astro World. But it's done by David LaChapelle, you know, the famous photographer, and one of his muses is Amanda Lepore.
Who Fausto always says I sound like.
Are you Amanda Lepore in costume right now?
I just wanted to be a housewife, but then I just got bored at home.
I was married to this guy in New Jersey for a while, but I just got tired of cleaning, you know? They only make so many colors of Dawn dish soap.
That's pretty good.
There's your snatch game.
I will draw my lips up to my nose. I don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm. You can just put, you know, you can get saline, right? And just inject saline into them for temporary.
Well, actually,
thing,
I was
right?
probably just going to do it at home with a hypodermic needle and vegetable oil.
No, just do saline because it'll go away after a couple hours.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's this big kind of like a carnival kind of looking thing, and it's got Amanda Lepore in there, and she's bent over and you kind of see her ass, right? And so this is the photo that's taken. And then when Travis Scott releases it on Instagram, mysteriously, Amanda Lepore is no longer there.
Ooh, I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
So they got rid of her. Now, we heard a story, because, like, so he's dating one of the Jenners, right?
Yes.
And so
Amanda Lepore did not tell us the story,
no,
for
Amanda
the record.
Amanda Lepore did not tell us the story, yes. But we heard the story that Amanda Lepore was...
She caught me.
She was in Las Vegas, and she was on a treadmill at some hotel, and this guy comes up to her. It was just like, he was all hot for her, and she's just kind of like, whatever, that kind of thing.
She does a treadmill and heels.
Yes, I think she does do a treadmill and heels and a jogging suit.
And little tiny ankle weights for attention.
Yes. And so she didn't know who this guy was. I'm not really sure exactly what happened in that encounter. But then later on, she was at some kind of party and she sees this picture of this guy on the wall. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's the guy who wanted me in Las Vegas. And they're like, do you know who that is? And she's just like, no, who is it? And like, that's Kanye West. And she's like, who? So I don't know if Kanye, I suppose, I think he's the producer for this album. He helped this guy with his career. So I don't know.
So it's a personal vendetta, so not because they're trying to remove a woman's ass from the album. Because I'm looking at the album cover. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 naked women and their butts splayed out all over
what
the place.
What I want to know is why no one at this table is considering the possibility that Kanye West thought Amanda Lepore was a cisgendered woman. I'm offended.
I'm not saying he didn't.
She is very daytime passable and probably looks like any other 45-year-old woman that you see walking through a Target or a Kmart. Mm-hmm. I am sure of it. Sure.
It's fantastic. I'm made out of plastic. I can't even feel my face. Amanda Lepore's music is amazing, and I absolutely love it until she starts singing. Like, it's the first opening bar, you're like, oh my god, this song is so great. And it's like, hi, it's me, Amanda Lepore.
I want to hear her. I want her to do an audiobook of Sylvia Plath. I need that more than anything in life.
She was born to be a spoken word artist.
She needs to do like Edgar Allan Poe poetry.
It was many and many a year ago in a kingdom by the sea.
Like, I just need it so
Annabelle
bad.
I bet you could get her to do it. Amanda Lepore reads Edgar Allan Poe.
Or I also think she'd be great at Shakespeare. Couldn't you so see her as Desdemona in Othello? Couldn't you so see that? Just like she's getting like strangled in front of everybody by like the big army general, and she's just weak and blonde and can't think of anything. She's a Shakespearean actress.
I do here perceive a divided duty. You've heard Matt Brown. You've heard my Amanda Lepore impersonation.
Do you have one,
Mark? What's your Amanda Lepore voice sound like?
Husky. It's very husky. Yes. I was in New York, and I was standing there naked in the club, because that's what I do. It's like Donald Trump.
What's the difference? Because there's a New York accent, so there's a similarity. Mm-hmm. But then what's the difference between a Kathleen Turner and an Amanda Lepore? And then the difference between a Lauren Bacall and a Kathleen Turner?
Because favorite time of day is night.
Exactly. It's all these tiny, tiny differences.
You think coffee and... I like that we're coming full circle.
Here. Yes.
I love when that happens.
I'm don't do accidents, baby.
That everything's intentional?
Uh-huh.
Are you an angel?
No, just smarter than you. I just had to be a dick.
What can Brown
asshole.
Do for you, honey?
What can Brown do for you?
Yes. Brown, you are a delight.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You talk so quickly.
I don't even do drugs. That's the thing. Weed, but like that slows you down.
Right.
Don't drink coffee in the morning.
No, I love caffeine, but I didn't today. I did have a caramel mocha from McDonald's because I'm trash. But I just talk fast. Always have.
Are you from Springfield, Illinois?
Yes, yes.
Land of Lincoln.
Land of Lincoln. Land of the free. Licking. Land of the free, home of the brave. Home to two gay bars. Go to Station House.
Go check out Matt Brown. You are performing in Chicago all the time.
Yes, yes. Check out my Twitter and Instagram, which is @MattBrownComic. And then I have a bunch of shows coming up through this summer. On August 5th, I'm going to be doing a show called Kiki at Transistor. On August 7th and August 9th, I'm going to be at Laugh Factory. August 19th, I'm going to be at Comedy Bar. August 25th, I'm going to be at North Bar. And all here in Chicago. And then on September 22nd, I'm going to be doing an amazing show at Aurora. So come find me, follow my social media. I'm everywhere.
It's insane how many shows you do.
Yeah, and I really try never to do like the same set twice. Like even if it's same material, orders changes. I like to it's a living document.
So you're improvising a lot.
Yes, yes. My style, because the comedians I loved,
yeah.
The three people that like influenced me the most, that's what they did.
Who was that?
Joan Rivers, Sandra Bernhardt, Kathy Griffin. They all went up on stage. It's just like a rough idea. And like the beginning of it's always playtime just to see what's there. Mm. And then if you don't know, you go into stuff that's
work. I don't
know.
Joan Rivers used to have her jokes written on giant cue cards on the stage.
Were, the first 5 to 10 minutes were always what was happening with her that day, whatever was brand new for her. Okay. And then the cue cards were the new stuff that she wanted to try. And then when
that
she was looking at that.
Stuff
yeah. It was always a system. I've gone through the documentary and read stuff twice.
Okay.
It's a whole system. It's a whole system. Kathy Griffin will put 15 bullet points on a page of paper and then go and do 3 hours. I saw her when she was here. She's amazing. I like people that are just, it's personality driven, it's identity driven, and you know, you're there to be free in the moment.
And okay. God bless you.
Oh, yes. That's what we are here. Free in the moment. Free in the moment.
It was a real pleasure. I heard a lot of good things about you from Fausto. He's like, oh, wait till you meet Matt. You're going to love him. Because thank you for coming to a podcast while I was gone.
You're fabulous. You're fabulous. And I'm like, I it's so great to like be here with the both of you getting to do the episode because, you know, I love the actual podcast.
Thank you.
Not just as
you actually listen to our show when you're not on it?
Occasionally, yeah. Oh,
I don't, was that? Prove it.
I which don't catch every episode.
Which show did you last
I love that episode you did with Tammy Chambers with Cody's other friend.
I was like, for a second, I was like, who the hell is that?
I remember your shit better than you.
I am like RuPaul. It's like, I forget all the names of everybody.
Well, it's hard after 2000 something, you know.
Yeah. Well, and also I can like meet you 3 times and still know your name. Like, it's okay. It's okay. Stuff goes in and out.
I had people come up to me and and they're like, oh, I was on your podcast a bunch of times. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I have no idea who you are.
You have more people in and out of your house than a drug dealer. That's really why they think you're a pimp. It has nothing to do with them, though. That's what it is. You just turn in these tricks in and out.
No, it's really good. If the person, like, you know, grows their hair out or grows a beard, then it's hard
changes
to recognize.
Gender. Mm-hmm. Like, there's all sorts of
that
stuff.
Happens.
You know,
that happens.
It has happened.
Yeah.
We've had guests that later came back as another gender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and so, it's like we want to be accommodating and inviting and create a memorable experience for everybody involved.
Okay, next time I'm going to have an afro and gain 40 pounds. I'm going to scare you. I'm going to come out in a dashiki. It'll be fabulous. It'll be very flowy
and warm.
I'm
sure you look adorable.
Oh, honey. I don't know about that. No, I get tits like I'm nursing. It's sick. You don't want me to gain weight. Because I used to weigh 200 pounds, believe it or not.
Wow.
What?
Yeah. When I was in 7th grade, I was like 5'7" and like weighed like 200 pounds.
I want to see photos of this.
There are none on the internet because I am smarter than that. No. Well, I deleted the Facebook time. And started over, all over.
Oh, no.
Oh, you deleted your Facebook page?
Yeah, I got rid of everything from before that. There's very little of like my teenagerhood.
So can people search Matt Brown on Facebook and find your old photos?
No, so they're only going to find a hot young man now.
They will find a clown. They will find a light. Skinned a clown. I don't know. I wouldn't christen this a hot young man for any reason, but thank you.
Remember,
to somebody. Remember, just like Donald Trump, there's a pot for every.
Yeah.
There's a lid for every
okay,
pot.
Okay, and I'll be fine.
There is nothing.
And I'll find him under a fucking bridge. But it is what it is.
Remember, folks, Feast the Fun is made possible because of generous support of fabulous, fierce, wonderful people like you. Become the first people to listen to our shows and behind the scenes looks at all kinds of yummy stuff at our Feast of Fun website, feastoffun.com/plus, where as a member, you can listen to all our shows for the past 14 years, mm-hmm. soon to be 15.
This
years.
Is a historic archive.
It is.
The largest repository of interviews with LGBT people in the world.
And you have taken the largest repository I've ever seen. So it's all connected.
Just wait, there's more in the back.
You got to open that trunk.
I want to remind folks, too, we've got t-shirts for sale at our store, feastoffun.com/store. The podcasts don't pay for themselves. Every little bit helps. Or if you'd like to make a one-time donation, you can do that at feastoffun.com/donate.
put a tip in our tip jar. Mm-hmm. Hey, Matt Brown, where can people follow Feast of Fun on social media?
At Feast of Fun on Twitter and Instagram and all other sorts of beautiful places.
And YouTube too, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, YouTube. And then you guys have amazing clips. The Lady Bunny and Bianca Del Rio video that everyone loves is you guys.
I shot that and I wasn't going to post it. And Lady Bunny's like, why haven't you posted it yet?
You got to put that shit up there. People need to see how funny we are.
Girl, this is me on at the buffet. This is me getting AIDS.
And what I really love about that video is like the venue actually had them really well lit. So like you guys were actually in a position to be able to take a good video and get like, because it's so hard to get good live footage in a club.
You know, the saddest thing about that is they had me roped off with some red ropes. And these paparazzi people were trying to like get into my space. And I kept like, hey, sir, you have to get out of the space.
And the flash was kind of going off.
This obnoxious friend of ours is like, come on, let me do that. And he kept shooting flash. And I'm like, no one is going to see a flash in a 500 feet theatrical space. It's just not going to work. Like, turn off that fucking flash, you know? And he was like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize it was on, you know?
I hate people who act like it's 2018 and you still don't know how to use your cell phone. Like, are you fucking serious?
Well,
are
you know, he had a telephoto lens.
Yeah, he was a professional photographer.
Okay, yeah, but you didn't know your flash was on.
And the flash is on and he feels like it would improve
the photo. I thought I pulled out bullshit. Like, I'm smarter than you. Stop it. No. Nonsense. Lies.
Real quick, there's a documentary right now out on theaters about the Hollywood's actual gay pimp, which looks
bisexual
really
pimp.
It was a bisexual pimp.
Yeah, because we can't do bi erasure. Everyone will get mad at us. Three white women with purple hair on Twitter are going to block me.
Well, he had sex with men and women, but also too he pimped out.
Did he go to Cuba and fuck goats? You got to be open to everything.
He would set up sex dates for women too with other women.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, for Catherine Hepburn.
She loved pussy and they had the shaking head, so it was just built in.
To work this snatch like you mean it.
She should have done Shakespeare. She actually did Antony and Cleopatra in London. Give me my robe, put on my crown, I have immortal longings. It's ridiculous. She's
you know,
a sister.
Transparent, the TV
she's
series.
She's a sister.
Jeffrey
the
Tambor.
Actress, God bless him. In Transparent.
Alexandra Billings.
Go to her Facebook and you can see her doing her Katharine Hepburn impersonation. She's hilarious.
She's been doing it on YouTube for 10 years. Yeah. Alexandra is amazing. I love her Instagram. She is also like a mixed race gender bender sister. And I love her.
I don't think she's out as mixed race.
Yeah, she is. I see her post about it.
She used to say she's Jewish.
I see her post about being biracial. She mentions it on her Instagram from what
I
see.
Good.
Just as a fan.
Oh, really?
Just as a fan. That's what I see. I've never met her. I don't know her.
Well, when you say biracial, do you mean like black?
I don't know what she's mixed with, but I've just seen her say like mixed and biracial and stuff. And like, just, I don't know. And
that's good.
Mentioning diversity and openness.
I had no idea. I just knew she was Jewish.
Consider Jewish to be like a race in addition to an ethnicity. So I don't know.
Scotty Bowers, Pimp to the Stars, is the name of the documentary is The Great Hollywood Pimp.
You're the one that brought it up.
Yeah, I didn't write that down, but it's really good. Go check it out. Also, 9 to 5, a sequel with the original cast, is in the works.
Aren't you excited to see how they're going to light Dolly Parton? She's going to have a medium shot throughout, and then they're just going to put the sun right in front of her.
Well, you know, nowadays, it's like they just, you know, how you can, you know, Photoshop your photo. They can just do that with video now. So, like, when you see all these stars up on the screen, like, they give them, like, they get rid of the turkey necks. They give them nose jobs in video form.
Wow.
So you're going to see them up on stage on this video, but, like, it's going to be, like you say, like the soft lighting. You're not going to notice.
The whole thing's going to look like Drag Race.
Lucasfilm Industrial Light Magic is filming Dolly Parton.
But they've been doing this to actors for years now. Yeah. You know?
Chris Pratt for Guardians of the Galaxy, you know?
What I'm really excited for with 9 to 5 is that we can finally see like big tit jokes made about a 73-year-old woman. I just feel like society needs that. I feel like we really need to just look at a 73-year-old woman's tits and just be like, yep, attractive and funny. I feel like we need that.
Working 10 till 6. What a way to make a look. Because most people don't work
out
9
here,
to 5.
Breaking hips.
Sucking
it'll be great.
Dicks.
It'll be great. It'll be great. She's got it.
Matt Brown. Brown.
Thank you, Matt.
She-larious, honey.
Thank you. Thank you. I identify as a female comedian. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Adios.
We'll be right back.